Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Happy Greg Cody Wednesday. He has started the proceedings in annoying me by informing me he has no back in my day. Really, the only reason we keep him around here. So we'll have to settle for just getting him on all three hard network outs.
He had an extra day. I mean, he had an extra day to prepare that for us, and still nothing.
He rivals you in laziness, but he wants the continued publicity of the very little work that he does around here. So we will spend the show mocking Greg Cody. But you may have noticed, right, because of the great degree of difficulty in the way that we're doing this, and don't think that we haven't noticed that we're insanely jealous that Golic and Wingo is getting more resources and cameras than we are, getting more help than we are. So we're going to have to feud with everybody. But this has been for the last 2.5 months, and we can't really complain about it too much because it lacks perspective, and you sound like an ego diva to complain about it too much. This has been a largely joyless radio show experience, and our show thrives on the contagious joy of us enjoying each other's foolishness while talking about stuff. But this morning, joy arrived. Joy arrived for me, Stugatz, and I hope that you share this joy with me as I read something to you that I believe will fill your heart with something that resembles hope. So, okay. You have seen the way that streaming and all the entire media industry when it comes to entertainment has been trying to grab at your dollar, whether it's Netflix, you know, getting, you know, to 7 million subscribers, 70 million subscribers, I believe is actually the number. I think it took them 7 years, and it took Disney Plus like 5 months or something. You've seen that a whole lot of people are fighting to get into that particular game. And so now here comes HBO Max. Now HBO does wonderful, wonderful television. Just their success rate is extraordinary. Unlike Netflix, which Netflix is throwing a bunch of poop against the wall and trying to figure out where something sticks. HBO Max, Will Leach, the founder of Deadspin, has found something on HBO Max that I believe will turn the tide in all of these wars so that HBO Max passes Disney Plus, passes Netflix, passes everybody. And the name of the movie is called, and this is right up your alley, Collision Course.
What?
Now, hold on a second. That's right, Collision Course. But I was not aware of this movie, and I want to know if anyone in our audience was aware of this movie, because when I read this to you, Stugatz, you, never mind Netflix with its action movies and Michael Bay, when I read this to you, you are going to swoon. The first four words of the description of this movie are Detroit cop Jay Leno. Thank you, Mike. So this is where my joy began. Hold on a second. It gets better because I can't believe I did not know about this movie. Detroit cop Jay Leno teams up with Japanese detective Pat Morita to find a killer in this fast-paced crime drama. Cultures clash and cars crash. as the mismatched duo turn the Motor City upside down in search of suspects. This is how you knock out Disney Plus. Yes. This is how you crush Netflix. Had any of you heard of this movie? Detroit cop Jay Leno. Roy, are you kidding me? Roy, you have heard of this movie. You, nobody else in our group has any idea what I'm talking about. Collision Course. Detroit cop Jay Leno teams up with Japanese detective Pat Morita. That's all you needed, really. But what do you know about this movie, Roy?
I just know that these two got together in like 1988 and 1987 and did a movie. That's all I know about it.
Okay.
That was around the time that Jay Leno was busy hawking Doritos. He was a paid ambassador for that.
I don't remember that either. I put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you remember Jay Leno as a Detroit cop in Collision Course? And do you remember Jay Leno hawking Doritos? Thank you, Mike. So Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is in with us, and I need to find out, I need to get some details on this, because he is hosting the Miami Herald Virtual High School Awards Show this evening. Thank you, Mike.
Wow.
I appreciate that you are a laugh track, because these are the reactions I am looking for. Now,
I mean, what a gig.
I know. Now,
it is a star-making platform, by the way.
The Miami Herald Virtual High School Awards Show is this evening, and Greg Cody, longtime Miami Herald columnist, I have a number of questions about this. Did you dress up? Did you have to wear like some sort of brown suit that you bought in 1980 that is too snug in all the wrong places? What were you wearing?
Yeah, I think I bought it in the 90s, but yeah, I did wear a nice black jacket. You know, not quite a full suit. I didn't have a tie on, I don't think. Taped it last week, but yeah, I dressed up. It was like a PI gala. You know, I'm emceeing a major award show, and I looked the part.
All right, that's the loose definition of major, but okay, we'll accept it. The major Miami Herald Virtual High School Awards Show is this evening. Now, Chris, did you see any of this being filmed? I think your father is going to have a great deal of difficulty with anything that resembles technology and anything that resembles grace. We will get in a second to the fact that he is killing ducks in his backyard by feeding them bread, and that the Miami Herald Virtual High School Award Show is being hosted by somebody who's doing harm to ducks in the community. But Chris, what can you tell me about that you know about your father hosting this thing? Because I imagine it to be an awkward, wonderful, comedic disaster.
I went over to his house the day they filmed this because it was my birthday, and I showed up there, and you would have thought this was going to go on HBO Max by the amount of crew that they had. Now, they were our social distancing. Everyone was wearing masks. But I thought this was going to be on HBO with how big this production was, because you hear all these things about the newspaper industry struggling. You would not have thought it was struggling if you walked into our house the day that this was made.
It's wonderful that I am now jealous, as the biggest sports radio show in America, of the crew and technology and resources that the Miami Herald Virtual High School Awards Show had while taping last weekend. Was there a spread, Chris? Did your father give you the pineapple from a spread as your birthday gift? Like, was your birthday gift given to you before that or after that? $3.99 pineapple.
Now, not only was this a huge production, it was kind of, if I can say this is my words, not my dad's, a very inefficient production. They got there like 8 a.m. and they didn't leave until when I got there at like 6:30 p.m. And so there was leftover breakfast spread. It was a bunch of good like breakfast sandwiches, ham, eggs, and cheese, and it was just sitting there because there was nobody there to eat it. So I, of course, got those leftovers. That was golden.
All right. So, Cody, any highlights that you can give us? And I'm sure people can tune in if they want to at 6 p.m. tonight somewhere where they can find the Miami Herald Virtual High School Awards Show. Were you funny, or were you just some cigar store wooden Indian in your brown suit from the 80s, or your black suit, your black jacket from the 80s? How much did that jacket cost you in 1990? Seriously, the black jacket from 1990, how much did you end up paying for that?
If I remember correctly, it was around $100, you know, maybe $95. I don't really remember exactly, but it's beautiful. It's well tailored, and I wear it like a champ. The Virtual Miami Herald High School Athletic Awards show is going to be on 6 p.m. tonight on the Miami Herald's YouTube and Facebook channels. And it's a major deal to coaches and athletes from Miami-Dade and Broward counties. I mean, it's
okay.
It's like
I really don't want propaganda. I want the funny parts of you taping this from, and they said, I'm assuming it went from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. because you couldn't figure out the Zoom. That's what I'm assuming that it was supposed to be 15 minutes, but you were on mute the whole time.
No, it had nothing to do with Zoom. A camera crew with, you know, $20,000 professional cameras came to my house, set up in my game room. I was on one end of my pool table. The cameras were on the other end, and they taped me, and I got boffo reviews from the film crew. They thought I was absolutely fantastic.
The Herald has budgets for a camera crew and those kind of cameras.
I am so jealous, Stugatz. I am so jealous. Like, unbelievable. I can't believe. Like, honestly, Stugatz, I'm making calls this morning. Hey, my microphone doesn't work. Somebody send me a microphone. Mike Ryan is telling me that we are a fraction of a decibel away from no one being able to hear me. And, you know, when I'm told, you know, I'm told some version of, hey, the guy who handles that was furloughed 6 weeks ago.
Should I have the remainder of my all-time Rockets team ready to go? I mean, where are we? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161. Or share a video or text using the hashtag DearSports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NHL has formally announced that this season's regular season is over, and they will return to play by starting the Stanley Cup playoffs with 24 teams in two hub cities. We will talk about this more with Emily Kaplan coming up at noon Eastern. The Major League Baseball Players Association is, quote, disappointed with the league's economic proposal that called for a significant cut in salaries. For instance, players who are paid over $20 million would receive 20% of their salary. That means Mike Trout, who makes $37.6 million, would earn a prorated salary of a little over $19 million over 82 games and would have a base salary of $5.7 million. And finally, FX Networks has renewed It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for its 15th season. The renewal makes the show the longest-running live-action comedy series in television history. I've never seen an episode. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Stugatz, do you care in any way that a Dream Team tape proves that Michael Jordan lied about keeping Isaiah Thomas off the team, and Sam Smith, the guy who wrote the Jordan Rules, says that the documentary had Jordan telling some lies or misrepresenting a handful of things? Do you care at all? I mean, this is one of the things that can happen when you're working in concert with someone on a documentary and you're allowing them some ways to shape the way the truth is told. It becomes their truth as opposed to the truth.
The six rings, though, the championships, all that happened. It was real, all that stuff.
Yes, that was
okay,
not a lie.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. All right, very good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you guys whether you're watching this Korean baseball at all, because I am maintaining that the worst job at the network right now belongs to Boog Shambi, who is waking up at 3 in the morning every day and going out there and calling Korean baseball games from his home. He is learning a lot about Korean baseball. Have any of you seen any of this? Mike, have you watched any of this? Because it's often on at ungodly hours.
I have watched, and I have immense respect for Boog Shambi as a play-by-play man. He has a very difficult job, because if you've watched these games, he's really not paying that much attention to what's going on the field, because he knows the viewer doesn't really have any sort of connection with these players. He'll try to tell some interesting stories to get you invested, but really, it's a talk show. It's a talk show from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. Oftentimes, guests are zooming into the broadcast and zooming out, and he has to navigate this entire thing, oftentimes with poor Zoom connections that just lead to awkward lag. he's become a star in Korea. I've seen that his face is now behind home plate as one of these fake fans. And it's really interesting to see. I do not envy it. It is very difficult, the job that Boog Shambi
has. It is very difficult. But I do think that as this particular conundrum that doesn't have a whole lot of precedent in our lifetime makes an appearance, you will see certain evolutions take place. And good God, Stugatz, what I wouldn't do to watch a game I don't care about as a talk show, as opposed to being told that I've got to care about the second baseman's on base percentage instead. I love the idea of listening to a talk show and having that as supplemental entertainment on my sporting event. And the only way to do it, though, without alienating a sports fan who cares about his or her team, is to have players involved that no one knows in America,
right,
which makes it a little bit difficult to replicate.
I think a lot of things post-pandemic will stay with us that we picked up on because of necessity, because of the pandemic. Teleconferencing and how easy it is to broadcast now compared to what the industry standard was before is one of those things. But also, I think there's something to making baseball broadcasts more of a variety show because it lends itself to that. And I also think golf got is onto something now with having a guy like Charles Barkley in there. Obviously, you're going to have your stuffy majors that are always going to require the proper respect and the whispering and the Nick Faldos and the Jim Nances. I get that. But having Charles Barkley be a comedic voice, having him be able to talk to some of the golfers, that brings people from the outside in. That actually grows the sport. You're not losing anybody that loves golf by having Charles Barkley be a part of the broadcast, too. As a golf fan, did you think this added to the broadcast? Did you think it took away?
I loved it because they allowed Chuck to be Chuck, and they gave him access to the players, and they allowed him to talk smack, and the players could talk smack back to him. And I don't think that should be limited to the match or, you know, to the Valero Open. I'm fine with that at Augusta. I'm fine with that at the majors. I'm fine with that at all the biggest events. Dan, you think that if baseball play-by-play, even at the highest levels, major league level, playoff level, you think the fans would reject having people just kind of call in and it be a combo, a hybrid between calling the game and a talk show?
There needs to be a seismic shift in how sacred emotional fans are about their civic pride and their allegiances. Like, you're asking your entire fan base to accept something that is going to be resistant to change, especially in that sport where they hate change above all else. You're asking them, now you're asking old people as well, because your demo is old. You're asking old people to accept change. It's the perfect sport for it, the perfect sport to do it in, and you can put in all the insight and all the knowledge, and you can teach people and you can tell stories, but baseball would be about last on that. Baseball does innovation very poorly.
Charles actually worked because he actually does know about golf, and he's humorous, so knowing something about the sport, it's not like Dennis Miller, who's coming in totally as an outsider that's there to provide entertainment. I actually think they should try this with a true play-by-play guy. Like Joe Buck, I think, would be perfect for this type of baseball broadcast where it's part talk show and part play-by-play, because the game naturally is going to have moments in it that are going to be drama-filled. I know it's baseball, but there are going to be times that the most interesting thing on your screen is actually going to be what's happening on the field, and you need somebody with the credibility to lend his voice to that, and then interview, you know, a chef doing a cooking demonstration when times are slow.
What Charles knows and does a really good job of conveying to the audience is how frustrating that game could be and how humanizing that game could be, where it could bring the greatest quarterback we've ever seen to his knees until he hits that shot because everything's moving too quickly for him. And Charles knows that because every time he plays, everything's moving too quickly for him. And I think that is sorely needed. I really, really do. And I hope golf can figure it out with guys like Tony Romo and Charles Barkley. And again, I'm not just talking about the match. At Augusta. Like, I'd rather see Charles at Augusta than I would call in college basketball. I just would.
Television executives, feel free at any point to get the next Charles Barkley, please. Yes. He's approaching 60 years old, and we'll stick him in anywhere, and that's what passes for creativity. He has been relevant across decades. It has been three of them since he was playing basketball. We're back next.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Jalen and Jacoby, the after show continues this Sunday following the latest 30 for 30 Lance as it continues with part two. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast as Jalen and Jacoby are joined by the film's director, Marina Zenovich, who shares a behind-the-scenes look into the making of the documentary. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Joe Thomas and Matt Chen going to join us in just a second. Man, Matt had him. He did. I'm going to say it right now and Matt can hear me. Joe, sorry. Here's your SportsCenter update. Chase Elliott snapped Kyle Busch's seven-race Truck Series winning streak and collected a $100,000 bounty for beating NASCAR's most successful truck driver on Tuesday at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The Dolphins announced they are launching the outdoor drive-in theater inside the Hard Rock Stadium that will be used to show marquee games and team history, classic movies, commencement ceremonies, concerts, and more. They are also hosting an open-air theater that can host small groups for an intimate viewing experience in the complex plaza. And finally, the most popular version of the song La Cucaracha is about a cockroach that can't walk because it doesn't have marijuana to smoke. Really? For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Put it on the poll, please, Billy. Did you know La Cucaracha was about a cockroach that couldn't find its marijuana to smoke? That was very mean what you just did to what? Matt Chen. He is a six-time CrossFit Games athlete. He is a firefighter from Denver, Colorado. He had a life-threatening bike accident that nearly cost him a leg, and he's there with the seven-time All-Pro who's cheating because he's lost 1,000 pounds since he played football, and he barely loses, and you call him a choker. And it just ignores how exhausted both of these men were, right. and it ignores how brave Joe Thomas was in the final moment.
Listen, Matt Chen is everything that I am not, okay? He is a hero. He is strong. He has will, okay? But in that moment, I am telling you, he choked, okay? And even Matt would agree with me on that. He had Joe Thomas, and he choked it.
All right, well, let's ask him here. That's not the way I wanted to introduce him, but thank you, Matt, for making the time.
Sorry.
Here, you did have Joe Thomas beat. Again, the Titan Games, we should mention this, the Rocks Titan Games, Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Take us through, if you haven't seen the video, it's an exhausting course, and he catches Joe Thomas from behind, he passes him, and then he's just got to insert something in a slot, and Joe Thomas does it somehow faster. So thank you for joining us, Matt. I'm sorry about my co-host. What happened?
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think I choked. Yeah, you know, I got so worked up. You know, we didn't get a lot of exposure to any of these events ahead of time. We got to do like one walkthrough and ask some questions about how, you know, pieces of apparatus and stuff like that worked. So, you know, really the chance to really try it was, you know, during the event. And I made a couple mistakes early on that I fell behind Joe. And then I got a little worked up in my head. And and really, you know, pushed on the gas pedal to try to catch up to him. And when I had that opportunity, I think I was just so gassed from pulling the Atlas stone across the floor that when it came time to, you know, break the I think they call it the idol, break and grab the idol, that my hands were just, they were just numb. And then I had no accuracy. I couldn't slide that key into the slot. And I look over and Joe already did it. And it was a big bummer, but you know what? Hats off to Joe. I mean, he stayed cool, calm, and collected the whole time. And it was a good competition.
Joe, it was the best competition in sports we've had in 2.5 months. It's the closest competition any of us have seen anywhere in sports in 2.5 months. Joe, how exhausted were you? Because that seems an unholy thing to do, even at your reduced size.
Yeah, I trained pretty hard for that thing. But like Matt was saying, you actually have so little oxygen going to your brain towards the end that you start losing coordination. It's almost like jumping into a freezing river or something where – Your brain wants to do something with your hands and your feet, but you just can't do it. And it's not lactic acid buildup. It's actually physically not getting oxygen to your brain. If you watch that last, the race with me and Matt, when I jumped off of the falling waffles, like we were calling them, or the falling French toast, I actually just fell to the ground. I landed fine, and I just fell because I couldn't feel my legs. And I had lost coordination at that point. And so, once we got to the ball and chain carry, I was just really trying to focus, and I was starting to kind of lose my vision. And so I was just trying to watch the floor about 6 feet in front of me, kind of back when I was in my football days and I was pushing the sled. I would just try to watch the grass 6 feet in front of me and just focus on each blade of grass to try to get your mind to overcome its inability to work. And all I can say is I was just a little faster at the insertion point, which has kind of been the story of my life. And that was the secret to success at the end.
Well, explain to us whether you think that Stugatz is being too mean to Matt Chen and that Matt Chen is being too mean to Matt Chen when, given what you just said, I couldn't feel my legs and I was about halfway through the thing. Do you think Matt Chen choked?
Well, Stugatz is an elite level athlete that he has discipline that few people on earth can contain. So he's fair to criticize whoever he wants, but I think it's fair. I mean, you look at the results. It's a results business, just like football. Whoever finishes at the end a little quicker, a little more focused, they get to shake Rock's hand.
Yep. Matt, can you tell us what level of haunted were you by the way that it ended? Like, does that stay with you for several nights? Is it something that makes you lose sleep, or do you shake that off?
I think it's just like a loss in any sports. You look back at the things that you could have done differently, and they definitely haunt your head. And, you know, it was just my wife and I in the hotel room during the filming of this thing, and I think she told me, she's like, all right, move on. It's you got tomorrow. Because, you know, you play back the entire event in your head and you can pick apart, you know, the five things that you could have done better. But, you know, it was a lot of fun and it fired me up. Like, for the rest of the competition that I got to be a part of, it fired me up to, you know, I was hoping that I would get to face Joe again because he was, in my opinion, he was the best athlete out there that I had seen and definitely that I had faced. You know, he was just go, go, go. And it surprised me because of Joe's size, but he just kicked ass.
Matt, right after the event was over, right after you had lost and Joe realized he had won, was Joe talking trash to you? If so, please share it with us.
Oh, no, not to me. I mean, I think we were pretty cordial before and after. And I think, you know, playing back the stuff you see on television, I think that's kind of just the Hollywood stuff. But you tell me, Joe, were you talking trash?
There was no talking whatsoever. I was just looking for a medic in case I fell down and hit my head because I couldn't breathe and I couldn't see. Yeah.
Did you think, Joe, that you were going to do that well? Did you think at any point that you were going to lose? I got to think those last few seconds, you got to be saying to yourself, bleep, I'm a Cleveland Brown. I always lose.
No, I was thinking the opposite. I'm a Cleveland Brown. I never lose. No, you know, the funny thing is, you, like Matt said, they didn't let you go through the course in advance. And before you signed up and joined the show, you had no idea what the challenges were. And so for me, I was just focusing on doing each obstacle one at a time as smoothly and quickly as possible without even looking at Matt. I had no idea where he was. I didn't even know until Monday night that Matt fell when we were going on the little, like, monkey bar things up the incline. And so when I watched it back, I was kind of surprised how far behind he fell and how quickly he caught back up. It was pretty remarkable. But I mean, you're just so exhausted. You're just trying to focus on little small details as you're moving through there, because it is so physically demanding and you're just trying not to die.
Watch the Rocks Titan games Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. When you say physically demanding, you played football. Is it in any way comparable? Like, in terms of your level of exhaustion, have you ever been competing and been that kind of exhausted?
No. It's interesting because in the NFL, a play is 3 to 5 seconds. I mean, you go as hard as you can for 3 to 5 seconds, but then you typically get 30 seconds in between. And before you have the next play, that's 3 to 5 seconds, and it's 60 to 65 of those. But in this sport, you're going 3.5, almost 4 minutes continuous. So it's basically like doing an entire game compressed into 3.5 or 4 minutes. And I've never been that exhausted. I've never been that much into my lactic acid buildup in my body where I couldn't see, I couldn't breathe, my lungs hurt, and I was losing coordination. The closest thing would be like some 2-minute drive if you're down in Florida in September. But even that is over in 10 plays, and it's over 7 minutes. And you get breaks in between when you're resting at the line of scrimmage. To have no rest, you just keep funneling down that that downward spiral, and you just can't ever find a way to rest at all. There's no part of that obstacle course on Mount Olympus that you have any way to recover whatsoever.
Again, watch the Rocks Titan games Monday, 8 Eastern on NBC. Joe, it appears Matt wants a rematch. I don't know if you can make that happen, but would you grant him a rematch?
I'm pretty happy with the results of round one, so I think I'm just going to let the results stand there, my man.
So what happens next, Joe? You compete next Monday? Is that what, Matt, will you watch that?
Will I watch next Monday?
Yes.
Is that the question? Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, even the episodes that, you know, Joe and I are not in the other regions, I'm definitely going to watch it because, you know, we did not get to see any of the other competitions go down. The audience was kind of in lockdown, and other than The Rock and his studio team, you know, I don't think anybody got to see all of the events. So I'm excited to see how all of them kind of the event as a whole played out.
Joe, do you know who you're going up against? Do you know if you've just beaten your toughest competitor? Do you know what is in front of you on Monday?
I don't. And I don't even know how they're going to lay the show out. I mean, we filmed this back in February after the Super Bowl, but they didn't want anybody to know what happened, who were the other competitors, how were they doing. It was really a big fairness thing. I mean, they had all these fancy suits from the lawyer's company that were making sure that nobody was watching the other competitions, and you weren't talking amongst yourself so that nobody could complain about a fairness problem when it was all said and done. So, like Matt said, I'm excited to see the other competitors. And the only thing I got to make sure is that my son doesn't watch any of the other competitors, because the race between me and Matt, he was cheering way harder for the guy in red. And I kept having to remind him, no, daddy's in the black outfit.
What?
Cheer for daddy. But apparently the firefighter story really pulled at his heartstrings. So now I think he's going to have a Matt Chan bobblehead in his room, or one of those fat heads on the wall.
Guys, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it. Watch the Rocks Titan games Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, NBC. Appreciate the time, gentlemen. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you for having us, guys.
Thanks, guys. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. Chase Elliott snapped Kyle Busch's 7-race Truck Series winning streak and collected a $100,000 bounty for beating NASCAR's most successful truck driver on Tuesday at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. The Dolphins announced that they are launching an outdoor drive-in theater inside Hard Rock Stadium that will be used to show marquee games and team history, classic movies, commencement ceremonies, concerts, and more. It's very cool. They are also hosting an open-air theater that can host small groups for an intimate viewing experience in the complex plaza. And finally, human testicles have taste buds. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest location. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Did you know that human testicles had taste buds? And also put on the poll, would Lance Gunderson have won 5 Tour de Frances? Lance Gunderson. did you?
There's no shot, man.
Mike, did you like Lance the documentary?
I loved Lance the documentary. Part one aired on Sunday, and I love that we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, since we let Michael Jordan curse, everyone can curse now, but only on Sunday nights, which is weird because it's like a family primetime night. But I thought it was well done. All the concerns about the Michael Jordan Last Dance, because he had so much creative control, really don't apply to this one, because I don't think anyone's coming away with this saying, man, I really feel sorry for Lance. You obviously feel for what he went through, but it's established right off the bat that people had problems with Lance before he got sick. People still have even bigger problems now with Lance after he got sick. He's just generally an unlikable guy, and he even gives voice to that. He kind of understands that he's a difficult person. It's the most interesting I've ever been in a bicycle documentary. I'll tell you that right now. So you hear multiple sides to the story. You hear his own truth. He articulates that at the beginning. You kind of see that everyone is still kind of afraid of Lance Armstrong because he's still so powerful. He is the name there that people, you can tell that they're not fully giving you everything because they know it's just going to get back to Lance. So I find it interesting, and I can't wait to see part two, which is where we now see his rise, and year in and year out, he is winning the Tour de France. And then I want to see how brazen he is about his lies, because he didn't just lie about what he did. He challenged journalists. He got vulgar with people who dare challenge him, and he was a chronic cheater, a chronic cheater.
Billy, why were you wagging a Mutombo finger here at something that Mike Ryan said? What was objectionable there?
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page that cursing is not allowed now just because it was in those documentaries on Sunday nights. Like, I know there could be some confusion. Everyone on their best behavior.
Yeah. Okay. So we can only curse Sunday nights on ESPN at 8 p.m. So just keep that in mind. It doesn't apply to, you know, middays on ESPN radio.
Has anyone else seen the Lance documentary? Because we've talked before about the idea that it would stretch all reason. It doesn't make sense in terms of too good to be true that everyone else in your sport is doping and you're beating them while not doping. Like, it's simply not something that could possibly happen, that anyone is so much better than everyone else that they can beat everyone else who's cheating without also cheating. Tony, what did you think? You're with Mike on the idea that he's not very likable, right?
Yeah, he's definitely not very likable, but what I thought too was, are we going into this having it be a sympathetic puff piece, or was this actually going to be the story of what happened? Because, you know, in hindsight, we know that he was cheating and he was brazen about challenging people. But one thing that I found interesting was that they go early on in his life when he was running triathlons, and he was just absolutely the authority figures in his life, he had no respect for. His triathlon coach came out and buried him within the first 15 minutes of the doc.
That is something that I've always found interesting about Lance Armstrong, who hosted the ESPYs, the idea that we are so interested in America winning that we wrapped a bicycle in France in the flag and turned Lance Armstrong into somebody that made us care about the Tour de France in a way we never have before and we never will again and we haven't since.
All right, I'm going to have to check this out because I am still reeling from the Last Dance being over. So I needed a Sunday to myself. I needed a Sunday to kind of process that we were done with Michael Jordan, maybe forever, which made me sad. So I will get to it. But I will tell you, Dan, that my wife watched it. So I don't know what's going on here because she said to me that she had a lot of sympathy for Lance Armstrong, that he came off very well, that he came off likable. And she was asking me questions. Now, I'm muttering under my breath, he's a cheater. Every time she asked me something, cheater, cheater, cheater. I don't need to watch it, cheater. But she was telling me, what is Lance supposed to do if the rest of his sport is cheating and he knows and thinks he's better than all the other guys who are doing the same exact thing that he is doing? And he took all his fame and turned it into something really, really positive, whether he cheated or not, where he did a lot of good and raised a lot of money for a lot of people. And therefore, she came away, walked away from part one. She's like, I like that guy. I like him. And I told him, cheater, cheater.
His confidence, he is extremely confident. Yes. And I do see it being equal parts off-putting and equal parts attractive. Part two is really going to tackle all the good that he does, but how do you reconcile just a bad person doing all this good? So I'm interested to see that. Also, they sort of highlight his fall when he goes to a charitable event called Babes for Boobs. And this is a guy that was on Letterman and, you know, class embodied when he was doing all these, you know, White House events for his charity and his foundation. And now he's being introduced by Eric Burns at Babes for Boobs. And he has to go down the back alley. And Eric Burns is like, you know, is this all necessary? No one cares anymore, Lance. We're sneaking out by the dumpster. We're leaving a place called Babes for Boobs. We can go out the front door. No one's going to stop you, dude.
Greg Cody, MLS commissioner. Greg Cody, a journalist in our midst. MLS commissioner Don Garber sent a memo threatening a fine or firing of anyone who leaked anything to the media, especially The Athletic. The Athletic, of course, reporting that Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber sent a memo threatening to fire or fine anyone who leaked anything to the media, especially to The Athletic.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. Two horses from the barn of two-time Triple Crown winning trainer Bob Baffert have tested positive for a banned substance. The English Premier League made a significant stride towards restarting matches on Wednesday after all 20 clubs unanimously agreed to resume contact training. And finally, three boys from Bolivia between the ages of 8 and 12 let a black widow spider bite them in the hopes of gaining Spider-Man's powers. But they ended up in the hospital instead. The boys poked the spider with a stick until it bit each of them. All three began suffering from fevers, tremors, muscle pains, and after a week of treatment and recovery, were discharged from the hospital. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu maximum arthritis pain relief cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu maximum arthritis cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Are you frightened that the tarantulas have begun swimming in Texas as part of this overall animals want their stuff back, and they're coming to get it? Emily Kaplan has never been on with us. I wanted to talk to her because she had an article about hockey's return, and it's been a while, so I have to apologize to Emily in advance. We don't talk much hockey around here, but whenever we do, you know, one of those annoying characters makes an appearance, hockey surfer guy who is far away from the microphone, always makes an appearance wherever there's a hint of enthusiasm about hockey. And right now there is enthusiasm about hockey. So, Emily, thank you for joining us. Can you explain to me and to us sort of what this hockey plan is, how it came together, and if you like it?
Wow, it's a loaded question. Well, firstly, thank you guys so much for having me on. Pretty much what the NHL did is they laid out their plan. They said, hey, if we're going to resume and we want to resume in late summer, this is what we're going to do. 24 teams are going to continue on. Seven, the teams that really sucked this year, they're out. We're going to call them the stigmatized seven, like the Detroit Red Wings, the Buffalo Sabres. You don't need to see them again. Now, the first round is going to be a play-in round. It's not technically the playoff. And then we get to the 16, which is a playoff field. The top four teams will get byes. And what the NHL wants to do is go to two different hub cities and pre-existing NHL markets. We can get into that a little bit later. Do I like the plan? Yeah, I do. I think that the NHL needs visibility right now. What's good for the sport is seeing it and being on the ice. And the fact that we can get 24 teams and potential for chaos in August and everyone's sequestered in Vegas or Edmonton, like, that's good for hockey.
Hey, dude, I'm super jazzed about the plan, dude. But the Habitants, they had a less than 1% chance to make the playoffs, and now they just duck dove right into this play-in. How's that fair, dude, Ed?
How is that fair?
That was a loaded question.
Sorry.
I can repeat it. The Habs, they just duck dove back into the play-ins despite having a less than 1% chance during the regular season to make the playoffs. That's a typical duck diver, and they're just betting their way into the playoffs. That's not fair, dude.
it's a good point. You know, one of the things that a lot of people have brought up is the two teams that are kind of the last ones in are the Montreal Canadiens and Chicago Blackhawks, and it's probably not a coincidence. Those are two teams with really big fan bases at the NHL. Like, it kind of sucks though. They were both sellers at the trade deadline. They really have no business being in.
Florida Panthers, we've been making the joke for years that the Florida Panthers have been 5 points out of the final playoff spot the entire time that any of us have ever been alive. Are they now actually in the playoffs or not? Because we were celebrating yesterday that they were in the playoffs, but then I read some more information and I found out they're not in the playoffs. They're in a play-in game to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, to use my favorite Canadian term, sorry. Sorry, it's not exactly there. This first round is really weird. It's kind of this hockey purgatory. None of these stats are going to count for the regular season. The regular season's over, but these also don't count as playoff stats. So, yeah, the Florida Panthers have made hockey purgatory, so you can celebrate that.
Emily, if this is successful, if the fans end up liking it, if the players end up liking it, is this something you could see the NHL doing moving forward?
Not necessarily. The NHL is a pretty traditional league. Like, for example, Gary Bettman really wanted to have the draft in early June because that's when he knew he can get the most eyeballs. And his GMs pretty much threw a temper tantrum being like, that's not right. That's not the way we do things. So you kind of get a sense of the way things operate. One thing that is interesting is the schedule changing, because if this does go until late August, maybe September, October, as we're expecting, next season could begin as late as December or January. Gary Bettman even hinted to starting the 2020 season with the Winter Classic. And now they'll have some data points saying, hey, is this a better schedule for us? Maybe we do this going forward. Personally, I don't think they're going to go there. One of the reasons is it's just hockey's not a summer sport. Like, you shouldn't be playing on bad ice in the summer months, and late June's usually bad enough.
Real slushy out there during the summer. I like how Gary Bettman's turned into like this chill dude. His whole life is TBD. 5 games, 7 games, it doesn't matter. Let me ask you a question. These outsider Benny teams, which one of them has the best chance of catching a sweet rip curl at the break and kissing Lord Stanley?
I don't know if anyone's catching the sweet rip curl, but I know there's a bunch of teams that are pretty pumped about just being in the tournament. Like, I really like the fact that the New York Rangers are in. They could make a nice little rip curl. I don't even know the term you guys use, but they could surf their way to the cup.
I like Islanders. That sounds fun. Yeah.
Can you explain to us how the testing is going to work?
Yeah, the testing's weird because, oh, not weird. Everything's weird. The NHL was like really adamant early on that they were going to ethically procure tests and they weren't going to step in front of the medical community. And now all of a sudden we're talking about, if we get to the competition phase, Gary Bettman saying 25,000 to 30,000 tests the NHL will have to use, test players every single night. He believes the test results will be available in the morning, and it's going to cost millions of dollars. So he believes by that point what their medical advisors are saying is that test deaths will be an insignificant number, but it seems pretty wild to me right now, and I'm not sure that's exactly true.
What do you do with this information? Real Sports evidently has a new episode premiering on HBO tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's a questionable call segment, and it's got a nurse on it, Mia Mungin, who lost her sister Zoe to COVID-19. She's criticizing the NBA's use of tests for asymptomatic players during a testing shortage. Like, how public have NHL officials been about their discomfort with the look of that?
Yeah, they've been pretty adamant that no player should go out privately procure tests, you know, up to this point. They said defer to your local health authorities, defer to your local government. And we did get some positive tests in the NHL. There was a little bit of an outbreak, you could say, on the Ottawa Senators. There was a couple of Colorado Avalanche who tested positive. But by all intents and purposes, those tests were done the right way and not stepping in front of other needs. So the NHL did, you know, save themselves from a public relations black eye with that, but we'll see what happens later in the summer when they're using up 30,000 tests.
What are you worried the most about? Like, what do you think is the most reasonable reason for the NHL to have concern about this plan?
Just an outbreak. You know, they said that one or two positive tests won't shut the operation down. But what happens if you get more than that? And they're, you know, the NHL is losing $1.2 billion, and they feel like they can recoup about half of that if they do this return to play plan. That's why they're doing it. But if you're spending tens of million dollars just to do this and then it shuts down after a week, is that worth it?
Hey, Dudette, last question. Which one of these shoobies is going to get spat out of the green room?
There's lots of shoobies out there. I honestly think the Islanders are shoobies. I'm sorry. I heard you said you were a fan.
Shuby is a dude that, like, dresses like a dude, like a surfer dude, but he's just, it's all looks. It's a pretender, dude.
He doesn't look like he's not a fan of the Islanders. He's just a hockey guy.
Island sounds amazing. I am an Islander, bro.
He loves islands. Emily, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate the time.
It's my pleasure. Always happy to talk, Puff.
Okay, sorry.
apologies. More sports next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beat Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Greg Cody giving the Straight Talk is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Happy Greg Cody Wednesday, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, and also he is hosting the Miami Herald's virtual high school award show this evening.
Yeah.
And you can check that out on the Miami Herald's YouTube channel. I hope that you guys crash it because Greg Cody is wearing his finest $95 jacket from 1990, and he intends to entertain the masses. Scott, I wanted to ask you, I saw some video, some heartbreaking video, of Steven Jackson, who we all know to be a really hard and rugged man. Anybody would say he's all back alley team. He is somebody who has the respect of people in his sport for being a man not to be trifled with. Obviously, the stain on his resume, or one of the stains on his resume, there are a couple, you know, there's a outside of a strip club, firing a gun into the sky and, punching the customers in the Malice at the Palace. But this is a person, and we like him around here. We like his personality. This is a person who is doing a podcast with Matt Barnes, and in sports, it has more street credibility than any podcast could possibly have. They've also got great guests. And we've gotten to know Steven Jackson a little bit more in his post-playing day career. And he was heartbroken when he got up in the morning and started making a video, and he heard and saw this video of a friend of his, George Floyd, who looks a great deal like him. He calls him brother, calls him twin, even though I don't think they're related in any way. And George Floyd obviously has Minnesota upside down because the four police officers who killed him, his final words were, "I can't breathe." The four police officers have been fired, and now Stephen Jackson is headed to Minnesota to, you know, there are bad things happening right now in Minneapolis in terms of outside of police precincts, and there is the danger with what it is that's happened in this country, and the fact that we are now seeing for ourselves some of the things that black people have alleged have been happening for a long time. We've been seeing them for ourselves, and these punishments tend to come only with the reaction, not with the action. When people get caught on camera doing these things, it is heartbreaking. There is no way to watch the video of a man saying, "I can't breathe," while a police officer has his knee on his neck. And yet these things don't become this kind of seismic unless there is an accidental death involved. Black people have been telling you for a long time that this kind of stuff is there, but we pay the most attention when there's a death, and that results in all manner of racial friction. And you get, you know, black people in the streets, you know, and you get rubber bullets, you know, black people in the streets protesting or being upset, obviously, with what appears, with what any reasonable person can look at and say, that's heartbreaking. Even if you want to argue, because we can make anything politics these days, even if you want to argue how difficult a job the police officers have, which is indisputable, and how much other information there might be, because I'm still waiting for the smearing that tells me that George Floyd got committed shoplifting or something 17 years ago, because that always happens after these things happen. I'm curious, as this plays out, even if you're arguing somehow the other side of it's okay to stick your knee on a man's neck until you kill him as he's yelling, "Please, I can't breathe," and we all watch it. I just don't understand how you can watch a video like that and not have your heart broken about human life, unless you somehow think that black life is not human life, unless you need to get here with All Lives Matter, because All Lives Matter is what you spit at us anytime anyone says Black Lives Matter. And in that video, what you're seeing is a black life not mattering.
Right. How can you not feel badly unless it's what you just pointed out? It takes death and it takes video, Dan, for people to get outraged. And I think what black people will say is this happens all the time, with or without video, with or without death. This happens seemingly all the time to us with authorities, with police officers, and people just refuse to believe it or get outraged or try to make change or instigate change unless there is death involved, unless there is video involved. There's a lot of people who feel like these cops should be suffering a lot more than just losing their jobs. A lot of people feel like these cops should be going to jail. And we'll see if that happens.
And they protect each other, and the system tends to protect them. It's a pretty rare thing that police officers end up going to jail for murder because, as we said, there's no one disputing this. It is a difficult, difficult job. No one disputes that being a police officer comes with its dangers, and, you know, we're giving guns to people who are undertrained and not paid very well. But when you juxtapose the video that we are talking about here with George Floyd, the literal nature of this is why Kaepernick knelt, and that's the kneeling that's going to offend you more than the kneeling that you're watching on the video, because the American flag that he knelt in front of, that American flag doesn't mean the same thing to him or to black people that it may mean to others. It often means like America's greatest sins. It often means oppression. It often means wanting to scream because of how much you know that these videos aren't necessary for this kind of injustice to have been something that has permeated your entire culture and history. The idea that anyone can see Colin Kaepernick lose his job for that kind of kneeling, when the only reason he's kneeling is to protest the kneeling you're seeing in that video that is ending a black life. I just don't know. Cody, you help me out here. Like, where's the argument on the other side of this? Like, what is the argument I can make when I put that video in front of you of somebody, like, man, drowning, losing your breath, this is all something that we can connect with. It's why it's in the movies so much. We can all understand how horrible asphyxiation must be. The idea that anyone can watch that video and then try and find the obstacle course of rationalizations to be made for why that's somehow okay is something that will befuddle me for the rest of my days.
Yeah, there's no way to rationalize it. And I found that video beyond appalling. And what's really appalling is that that came in a parade of previous videos that are also appalling, including the one in Georgia just a couple of weeks ago where the father and son hunted down somebody and shot him for no reason. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not enough to fire a cop who does that. That's not enough.
Steven Jackson looked broken on video, Stugat. Steven Jackson, it was odd. It's unusual to see a man of that kind of strength break down because something that hurts the way that that hurt him.
Dan, you're right, okay? It's a difficult job being a cop. It is. It's a difficult job. We all know that. I wouldn't want to be a cop. But what's not difficult, once you decide to go down the path of being a cop, what shouldn't be difficult is realizing it doesn't take four to arrest one. And once you have one under control and he's telling you that he can't breathe, it certainly doesn't mean stick the knee into the neck deeper. Like, it doesn't take, it's a difficult job, but it is not difficult, I don't think, to make rational decisions. I just don't. And to realize it doesn't take four of us to take down one of him.
We make fun of Greg Cody and lighten it up around here next.